You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Looking at the nation from his customary satirical point of view, Mark Twain once said, "It is by the goodness of God that in our country we have three unspeakably precious freedoms: freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, and the freedom never to practice either one." In his sarcastic way, the humorist was reminding people that freedom must be used or it will be lost. It is more than a list of things we don't have to do. It is the opportunity to be and to do something positive and constructive for yourself, for your home, and for your relationship to other people. Freedom, properly and consistently used, is basic to human life. People all over the world are finding that out, particularly when they've been robbed of their freedom to think and to act in accordance with their conscience, much as they would like to do that. Freedom has to do with what is essentially human. It touches the being of human beings. Freedom has to do with the soul of humanity. More than 450 years ago now, on October 31st of 1517, Martin Luther startled the world with his proclamation of the freedom of the gospel, which in truth was a return to basics, not only for the church, but for every human soul. Martin Luther touched the heart of life when he told people about the redeeming love of Christ, the Son of God and Savior of the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ has to do with the basics of human life. It deals with the ground on which to stand and also clears the air so that it can be breathed again. The gospel frees the spirit to be able to live again. The disciple whom Jesus loved concluded his account of the life of Jesus with a simple and human statement. "These things," he said, "are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." His apostolic witness is the word of God to the world. It has a freeing power all its own. It frees people from the constant fear of death and gives them a reason for living again. Jesus Christ died, and Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He's alive, and so are all those who put their confidence in him. With all of their ideas about religion and all of their failure to follow the will of God, people are beginning to look around them with the realization that something tremendous has been lost along the way somewhere. They were told to depend only upon themselves, to indulge their every little desire, because that was the way to freedom. Now they find themselves in more of a mess than ever before, less equipped to deal with the realities of life than many who have gone before. The cry today in many fields is, "Back to the basics." The complaint against much of education in the world today is that it has gone in for window dressing instead of the basics people need to read a paragraph and understand it, or to write an intelligible letter with a few complete sentences. Newsweek magazine talked about a woman whose son Jimmy marched off to kindergarten in Chicago already reading at the second grade level, and after 7 years in school was still reading at only the fourth grade level. Her cry is, "Back to basics." The frills of education, art, home economics, gymnastics, personal hygiene, music, all desirable, can't take the place or fill the necessity for the three R's: reading, writing, and arithmetic. We speak of basics in other areas of life: food, clothing, and shelter. A woman has a basic wardrobe, the items that she cannot really do without and can build upon with other pieces of clothing. An efficient office secretary must know the basics of typing, spelling, and filing. men and women who enter the armed forces begin with a period of basic training. As Martin Luther pointed out, there are basics for the interior life of people which are indispensable to genuine life. Basic to such life is faith in God. Without faith in God, life becomes dead, dull, and sodden, even though it has been loaded down with what people usually call the good things of life. Faith in God has a solid basis, a real foundation, which God Himself has laid down. That basis is the gospel which is in Jesus Christ. He is the good news of God. Sent by God to be the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ laid His life on the line in our own human history. He Himself became altogether human to live and to die for all of humanity. He did that in complete obedience to His Father in heaven. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of His Father and declared to be the Son of God with power by resurrection from the dead. In Christ, God was reconciling the whole world to Himself, not counting our sins against us. He committed to us a true word of reconciliation in Jesus Christ. The Word of God comes to the world in no other way. Jesus Christ is the ultimate Word of God to the world. In Jesus Christ, God has spoken to the world through His own Son. Jesus Christ is basic to faith in God. That is not just a dream. He is reality in human form, providing foundation for a genuine life. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. As John said, faith is believing in Jesus Christ. That is faith in God. The good word comes to the world even today in the faithful witness of the prophets of old and of the apostles whom Christ sent with this message of good news from God. It tells of forgiveness and life, proclaimed in our own language, preferably in simple words people can understand. Faith is basic for a really good life, built on the foundation of the prophets and apostles, Jesus Christ Himself being the keystone of the whole structure of life. If I had to pick one man since the apostolic age who did the most to bring people back to the basics of genuine faith in God, it would have to be Martin Luther. He stands taller than life in the dawn of the modern age, leading to the gospel of Jesus Christ and proclaiming that good news with the authority of God Himself found so readily available in the Holy Scriptures. Although he was surrounded by all the oppressions that have ever been a part of the human scene, Martin Luther was a free man in Christ. He said, "I am a slave to no man and yet the servant of all." That is life, as John proclaimed it. "These things have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." Martin Luther's translation of the Scriptures began with the publication of the New Testament in September of 1522 and the whole Bible in 1534. That translation has been a lead star in the translation of Scriptures ever since that time. Today, 1,806 languages have the Scriptures in whole or in part, with over 25 new languages being added each year. Luther's translation was the model for the English translation of William Tyndale in England, which became the basis for the very popular King James Version of the Scriptures. Luther preached the Bible from the pulpit. He did this because he understood the gospel. The good news of Jesus frees people for real life, forgiven by God and graced by God with love that is kind and unselfish, like the love of Christ Himself. Martin Luther did not invent the gospel. It has come to the world from God Himself, through men Christ chose for the purpose. These men wrote letters to the churches gathered around the Word of God and the sacraments instituted by Christ as an expression of the gospel. The Word of God speaks to you today, coming as it does this day from the pen of John. Many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the promised Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life in his name. Christ's men always recognized that the gospel was not inspired by them. It has come to the world by the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit to make people wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Mark Twain pointed out, freedom of speech and freedom of conscience, unexercised, are freedoms unpossessed. In the same way, Martin Luther pointed out that faith in God and love for Christ, unexercised, are gifts of God, unpossessed. A Bible study guide tells an interesting story about a woman who had dreamed that she had come to the final judgment. She was in a large room with a lot of other people, all sitting in a circle, waiting for Jesus to come and question them. It came to her that everyone was frightened and many were in tears. Then Jesus appeared. He didn't look at all like a stern judge. His face filled with love and compassion, he moved from one to another in the circle. "Why are you so upset?" Jesus asked one man. Came the reply, "I know I have not served you as I should have, but I was so ashamed of all my sins that I didn't think you would accept my service." "Didn't you get my letter?" Jesus asked. "What letter, Lord?" the man stammered. "Did you write me a letter?" "Oh, yes," Jesus replied. "I wrote you a letter and said very plainly, 'Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven.' Didn't you get that message?" "Oh, now I remember," the man said. "That was the verse I memorized in Sunday school. I never knew you meant it for me." Jesus turned to the next man. He too was distressed as he said, "I know I should have served you more, but I never had a good job. I was often out of work. I had 7 children to support. I was too worried even to think of church." "Oh, then you didn't get my letter either," the Lord asked. "Did you write one to me too?" the man inquired. "Yes, my son," Jesus replied. "I told you about the birds of the air and how they never worry about their next meal. And I told you how much more valuable you were than the birds. I told you to seek my kingdom first and you would never have to worry." "Forgive me, Lord," the man sobbed. "I often heard those words on my car radio, but I turned them off because I didn't think they would work for me." The next person in the circle was a woman. "Why are you crying?" Jesus asked. "Dear Lord," she answered, "I know I could have done more for you, but my life was lonely after my husband died. I just never had the heart for anything after that." "Then you didn't read my letter?" the Savior wanted to know. "What letter, Lord?" the lady asked. "I remember so well," Jesus said, "how I wrote you, telling you not to let your heart be troubled, but to believe in God and also in me. I told you there were many rooms in my Father's house, and I was preparing one for you, as well as for your husband. Don't you remember?" The woman looked startled. "Why," she said, "that's what the minister said at my husband's funeral, but I didn't know those words were personally meant from you to me." "Yes, my friend, it's from him to you. Not just from me to you, but from him to you. Luther's Reformation emphasized the need for personal faith in Jesus Christ. He's the one whom you can trust. If you have had many disappointments in your life and many people have failed you, it could just be that he's the only one you can trust." A story is told of a peasant farmer on a Pacific island working on his hilltop farm. Suddenly he felt the earth shaking. He saw the ocean receding from the shore, getting set for what he knew would be a destructive tidal wave. his neighbors were working down below in the fields, which would soon be flooded. With a torch, he set fire to his rice barn and sounded the fire gong. His friends ran up the hill to help him. Then they saw in horror the waters covering the fields they had just left behind. They realized now what their benefactor had done. The monument they erected in his honor bore the words, "He gave us all he had and gave it gladly." That's what Jesus Christ did for you. He gave you all he had and he gave it gladly. For the joy that was set before him, he endured a cross, forgetting about the shame, and now he sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. You may have no barn to burn, but Christ gives you love, the burning flame which comes into human hearts with faith in him. In a letter written by John in his old age to people whom he always called his children, the apostle said, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That is the gospel of God. It comes to us today, as always, in Jesus Christ. Just as the hymn says, "His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me." It is a word from God for you. The good word, the basic, loving word for genuine life. Back to the basics. Forward with the basics. Sins are forgiven by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Skeletons in the closet are thrown out of the house, and the love of God comes in to bring light and life again to human souls in the great name of Jesus Christ. These things have been written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. Amen.